The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want you to look at just one verse. Look at verse number 1. The Bible records for us, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Would you think about that last phrase in verse number 1? That you receive not the grace of God in vain. Exactly what's he talking about? Well, I think you also would agree that he's not talking about the fact that we might receive the grace of God and it would be ineffective in our lives. In other words, to say, "Well, I tried it. I trust the Lord, but it didn't do a thing for me." That's not what he's talking about at all. I think what he's reminding us is that we have been the recipients of God's grace to save us. But what a tragedy if we do not take advantage of the opportunities that affords in our lives. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more heartbreaking to me than to know of someone that never reached their potential. When you get older like I am, there are certain dates that are fixed in your mind. Now, I'm not talking about when I was married or when our children were born or that sort of thing, but there are certain public dates that are fixed in your mind. This morning, I remember exactly where I was on November the 22nd, 1963. I was in seventh grade sitting in study hall when word came that President John Kennedy had been assassinated. I remember that like it was yesterday. I remember exactly where I was on January the 28th, 1986, when news came of the terrible tragedy of the Challenger exploding. I remember exactly where I was on September the 11th, 2001, when we first began to get reports about the attack on the Twin Towers there in New York City and the terrible tragedy that ensued after that. And I also remember, oddly enough, where I was on June the 19th, 1986, when I first received news of the death of Lenny Bias. Now, I'm sure that all of you are familiar with President Kennedy's assassination. You know about the Challenger explosion. You know about 9/11. But unless you are just a diehard fan of the Maryland Terrapins college basketball team, you've probably never heard of Lenny Bias. Lenny Bias played for the Maryland team there in the 1980s. He was, in his junior and senior year, he was the most outstanding player in the Atlantic Coast Conference. He was an All-American. And in 1986, he was drafted second in the NBA draft. Brad Daugherty from North Carolina went first to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Boston Celtics, who had traded up with the Seattle Supersonics, got the number 2 pick, and they took Lenny Bias. That was on June the 17th. 2 days later, on June the 19th, word began to come out that Lenny Bias had died. He died from an overdose of cocaine. 2 days after having been selected as the number two player in the NBA draft, with the hope of the whole city of Boston riding on his shoulders that he would be the one that would revitalize that team after the Larry Bird era, Lenny Bias was dead. And all that anyone could talk about was the potential that had been so foolishly and so meaninglessly lost. And as great a tragedy as that is, and as much as that sticks in my mind, I can tell you exactly where I was when I first heard the reports about his death. But as hopeless as all that was, how much greater a tragedy it is to be a recipient of the grace of God and not take advantage of it. That we might receive in vain the grace of God. I want to just very quickly this morning give you three little simple thoughts from the verses that follow verse number 1 about why we might receive the grace of God in vain. Would you first of all look with me in verse number 2? He says in verse number 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Can I suggest to you, first of all, this morning that we might fail of the grace of God because of a failure to make proper use of our time. Now, I know we often use this verse when we're talking about salvation. Now is the accepted time. This is the day to be saved. And certainly that is a viable biblical truth. But it goes far beyond just our being saved. It's also talking about taking advantage of the time that God gives to us, because now is the accepted time. This is the opportunity that you and I have to serve the Lord. And what a tragedy it would be to waste the grace of God that's been extended to us by not taking advantage of the time that God's given us. Someone wrote a little poem talking about a minute, said this: I'm only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Young people, I know it's hard at your age because you look out and you think you have so much time in front of you. But may God impress upon us this morning the importance of the time that is placed in our hands and the tragedy of wasting it. We talk about the story of the prodigal son. And we always talk about the waste of his life. And he went in the far country and he wasted his substance on riotous living. But do you realize what the greatest waste in that story was? We talk about his substance that he wasted, but you do know that money, riches, possessions, even though they were lost, they could have been regained. Through shrewd business dealings and hard work, he could have regained every penny that he ever lost. Even his health that might have been squandered while he was in a far country. If he came home, if he lived right, if he took care of himself, if he got proper medical care, he might have regained a certain portion of his health. But I think you understand that every moment that was spent in the far country was gone, never to be regained. You don't get it back. You don't get to go back and relive years that you throw away. You don't get to go back and live moments that you waste, or even the time that you don't take advantage of in the presence of someone you care about. I'm simply saying to you this morning, we might receive the grace of God in vain if we don't, first of all, make proper use of the time that God gives us. Let me give you a second thing. Look at verse 3 and verse number 4. He says in verse number 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Can I suggest to you that not only do we fail to, or we might receive the grace of God in vain if we fail to take advantage of our time, but second of all, we can also do so if we are not careful in all of our actions. You may say that again? If we're not careful in all of our actions. Scriptures remind us often how that one action done in the heat of a moment can cause us to fail of the grace of God. Do you remember Moses when they were out in the wilderness? And God instructed Moses that he was supposed to speak to the rock. And instead of speaking to it, Moses in his pride and his arrogance did what he had done before. And he smote the rock. God gave him the water. But God told Moses, you won't enter into the promised land. One stupid, stupid thing that he did. And he forfeited the grace of God in his life. I think about Demas in the New Testament. Demas, that was a cohort, a co-laborer with the Apostle Paul. And we don't know what all Demas's life may have been when it was all said and done. But we do know this. There is one particular statement that is recorded in the Word of God about that young man. And that's found when Paul said that Demas hath forsaken us, having loved this present world. He made a bad decision, and it was recorded in the Word of God for all time to remind us of the failure in that man's life. I'm simply saying to you, bad choices, failure to do the right thing, wrong actions can cost us dearly. Please keep that in mind. As you get ready to go home here in a couple of weeks, even as you finish out this semester, just think about how one thing done in the heat of a moment, or one thing done foolishly, how it can prohibit us from accomplishing all that God wants to do in our lives. I'm going to give you one third thing to think about. Over farther in the chapter, in verse number 14, the Apostle Paul says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Can I suggest to you that we can also fail of the grace of God if we're not careful about our associations? Now, I know that in this day we're living, this loose day that we're living, that many have forgotten the principles of God's Word that reminds us that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The book of Psalms, the book of worship. You remember how the book of Psalms begins? In Psalm 1, in verse 1, the psalmist said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You remember how the book of Proverbs begins, the book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10, the wise man said, "If sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And then in verse number 15, he said, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their paths." Do you realize there are many who have failed of the grace of God, have failed to accomplish in their life all that God wanted to accomplish, that God could have accomplished, just because of wrong associations? I'm thinking back this morning to my college days. I'm thinking of a young lady that I knew when we were in college, a sweet young lady, beautiful young lady, blonde hair, just a beautiful young lady. Had a sweet spirit about her. She became enamored with a young man there on campus that really didn't have that great a reputation. Matter of fact, I knew him very well, and I knew about his reputation. She became infatuated with him. And when she became infatuated with him, he began to play the game. He began to be careful in his actions. He began to go to the right places. He began to do the right things. He even got involved at a local church and was singing in the choir and doing different things like that. He played the game until after they were married. And then after they were married, it wasn't long until he reverted back to who he really was. And not long after that, a few years after they were married, he was unfaithful to her. And ultimately, they ended up divorcing, and she was left to raise their children alone. She never got to achieve her goals that she talked about often, about wanting to be a preacher's wife. That was very big to her. She talked about it often. She wanted to be a preacher's wife. But she made a bad decision. She made a bad choice. And as a result of it, she failed of the grace of God in the sense that she was never able to fulfill what she felt like was God's leading in her life. I'm simply saying to you this morning, to fail of the grace of God, there was such a feeling of depression, if you will, in almost all of America when Lenny Bias died. Everywhere you went, people talked about, wow, what he could have been. I told you a moment ago, the whole city of Boston were pinning their hopes upon him to revive the Celtics and make them world champions again. But all that died in just a moment when he made a very bad choice and began to overindulge in cocaine and lost his life. He failed of what could have been a great, great career. But I remind you that as tragic as that whole scenario was, it's not any more tragic than a young person like yourself or an old guy like me failing of the grace of God. With all the potential that we have because of what God has done in our life, with all the potential that we have because of the way God has worked in our life, to not make proper use of our time, to not be careful in our actions, to not be careful in our associations, and to fail of the grace of God. My greatest prayer for every one of you this morning is that each one of you would achieve the fullness of what God wants to accomplish in your life, whatever that may be, and you would do it for His glory and for His honor.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.